Mama, I'm Gosia's Carrot, and this is the Firestarter Mom podcast, the show where we feature inspiring conversations with Firestarter moms and experts on motherhood identity shift, finding our inner fire back, and feeling adequate and empowered as moms and women. Welcome! Have you ever wondered if you can regain the boundless energy and zest for life you once had? How can you successfully balance the demanding roles of motherhood, navigate the challenges of perimenopause, and stay true to your authentic self? If you have ever questioned whether it's possible to maintain your identity and well-being amidst the complexities of motherhood and perimenopause, then you are in the right place. In this episode, we will explore practical strategies to help you achieve just that. Joining me today is Ashley Tobin, a hormone health and life coach and a passionate advocate for self-care. Ashley specializes in helping women regain their former vitality and zest for life. If you are feeling tired, irritable, and missing your true self, Ashley's expertise lies in providing more energy, improved sleep, real self-care, and better hormonal balance. Her mission is to help you reclaim a life that prioritizes you, not just caring for others and everything else. In this episode, Ashley reveals the secrets to achieving harmony between motherhood, perimenopause, and authenticity. She highlights the critical role of understanding perimenopause in emotional well-being. Ashley shares the keys to mastering self-care, embracing positive mindset shifts, and conquering guilt, all while leaving you eager to discover her free, immediate life-changing tips. Ready to dive in and explore the path to reclaiming your true self while embracing the beautiful journey of motherhood and perimenopause? Let's get started. Hello, Ashley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Super excited. Welcome from UK. You are based in Ireland. We were talking about this before the show that I've never been there, although I've been in UK for such a long time. So really, really great. Tell me, how are you feeling today? How do you start your day?
I start my day slowly and with a lot of silence. I like things to be quiet. And I suppose that's important because some of us are naturally busy and chatty and others of us prefer slower, quieter. And one of the things that I sometimes say is pay attention to what you love. So I like to start the day with enough time, even if that means getting up earlier in order to do so. But I'm in good form and it's Friday and I'm on holidays next week. So there are several things to be happy about.
There's something really soothing about how you say about this. I have a toddler, so those mornings are not always crazy. But what I've noticed is so much about actual choice, because actually she sleeps well, so I could wake up earlier. Actually, today I started from morning meditation track that I discovered there's an app called
Insight Timer, I think.
However, it was just so soothing, and yeah, that gives me that sense of stillness, which is interesting, that space between thoughts. Yeah, very, very interesting start. So I'm really glad you also had a good one. Right. I mean, I am really, really curious about this conversation, is about finding harmony really between motherhood, perimenopause, and our authentic self. Because, you know, I am 41. I had my toddler at age 40. And on the top of going through matrescence, which is transition into motherhood, I feel there is something else going on. There is some definite shift. I can't put my finger on it. I feel that based on my knowledge of perimenopause, that could be element of that, but I don't know really. So I am so, so happy that you're on this show and we can unpack it. But first, love to find out more about your story. Yeah, story of finding balance between motherhood, perimenopause, and the journey of authenticity, basically. So could you share perhaps your personal story that you've experienced when trying to achieve that harmony?
I will, of course. So I'm going to bring you back quite a bit. I'm 58. I was 58 this year. And I'm going to say I had early menopause, so I'm well out the other end. And I'm evidence that we can have energy and hope and lots of excitement and great adventures as we get older. But it wasn't always that way for me. So I had my daughter at 35 and no problems with fertility at that stage, but a massively stressful time in my corporate job that I was in at the time meant that over the next few years, really things were very stressful. I began to notice things that were different in terms of my energy, in terms of my thinking, in terms of some of my sleep. I had night sweats, I had some flushes. And for me as a nurse, I began to join the dots and was sure that perhaps it was an early menopause. I was also having a number of miscarriages at the time because we were trying to have another child. I went to the doctor. Now, remember, this is a long time ago. And I was told, nah, you're far too young to be in menopause. No, are you sure you're not depressed? Maybe it's depression. It wasn't depression. I just felt awful. But what it did for me was it, I suppose, in some ways forced me because I needed to be able to function. I needed to be able to mother well and I needed to be able to work well. So it forced me to begin to find out more about hormones and about that whole perimenopause, menopause journey. And perimenopause wasn't even a thing back then. And it's so wonderful that we're now discussing it because beforehand it was you were young and then you were in menopause and that was the end of everything. And there was no more to it, no more discussion. So through my own journey of understanding what was happening in the body, understanding what I needed and how my body needed different things at that time, I navigated my own way through perimenopause and menopause with the help of other therapies for sure, but also really on my own because at the time there was very little available to me. Fast forward a few years, meanwhile, I did some study in the area of complementary medicine and I left the corporate world and set up my own natural health clinic because I understood that lots of women, particularly from their late 30s on, were really being impacted by their own hormones. And so I've been working in that world for, yeah, the last, I'm going to say 18 odd years. And I've seen trends come and go, and I've seen perimenopause being spoken about. And the one thing I'll say is that our basic self-care are, it doesn't matter what treatment we're using, what medications we're taking, what supplements we're using, if we're not looking after simple things like sleep and food and joy and connection, it's hard to thrive at this time. And it is absolutely possible to thrive once we're looking after the basics. So that's my story and how come I've worked in this area for so long.
Brilliant. Yes, you've mentioned certain things that resonate with me. Definitely level of tiredness, the loss of energy that initially I thought maybe is associated with just different lifestyle now as mom. But since she was infant, things really changed for me. So now I feel that it is quite balanced. I can get sleep, but I don't re maybe sleep that well or as well as I would like. There is some kind of element of sweats, night sweats, and things that I have not experienced before. But I something is telling me that it is on a chemical maybe balance, imbalance body. Yeah, it could be hormonal. Definite mood swings. My goodness, there are certain aspects that you sometimes feel that this is just like different skin.
Right.
Anyways, but should we debunk some sort of myths or at least clarify what is perimenopause?
I'm going to start by saying the average age of menopause in Ireland and the UK is 51. If we wait to be in it, we've missed the boat. Because between 8 and 10 years before that, if you're lucky enough to still be alive, is how I describe it, our bodies are getting older. And whether we like it or not, that's the advantage of still being alive. Our bodies are getting older. So if we're in our 40s, perimenopause has begun in some form or other. And that's not necessarily bad. That's simply just some information that we need to know about. Because perimenopause is the journey that your body takes from fertility up until that magic day when 12 months after your last menstrual period, you're in menopause. So during that 8 to 10 year period, lots and lots of things are happening in the body. particularly in perimenopause, it's not just about declining estrogen. In actual fact, how I describe it is that's what's happened. There's a fluctuation of hormones in our perimenopause. In menopause, it's usually that you're seeing a downward trend of the estrogen only. But in perimenopause, there's fluctuations of all of the hormones, progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen. And our hormonal system, our endocrine system is incredible. I want you to imagine that this is like an orchestra in your body. And any of us that have listened to an orchestra know there's all different instruments. If any one of those instruments in the body, thyroid, ovaries, pancreas, the adrenals, if any of these different instruments are a little off, are just not playing in tune, it throws the whole system off. And so it's not that something's wrong, it's that a particular gland in that endocrine system is under some more pressure or aging. And so what happens is, whether it's that it's simply declining estrogen, or whether because of stress our adrenals are under pressure and there's more cortisol system, we start to have perhaps symptoms of energy fluctuations. And it can be that today I get up and I have great energy, and then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, someone has pulled the plug. And that's the frustration sometimes for women, because they'll go to their doctor, ask to have their bloods done, and then be told, "Oh, they're normal. You can't
This
be
is me, by
normal
the
to
way.
feel
Oh my God.
this
Every single
way."
class shows nothing. Everything is fine, but it
Yes.
doesn't feel fine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's the challenge, is that sometimes on regular blood tests, we're not seeing what's happening in this incredible system called our body. And there's a number of things that, when I'm working with clients, certainly we look at their bloods. We look at whether or not their FSH is on the increase, because that can give some information. But sometimes we get preoccupied with the blood results, because there's actually no one test that will say you're in menopause or you're in perimenopause. Instead, it's really about checking in with how you're doing and asking and going through the different systems in the body. First of all, what age you are, what are your blood tests? Perhaps if your GP has checked your FSH, your follicle stimulating hormone, that can give you some information. But things like sleep, the night sweats you mentioned, some of that heat, all of those are indicators that perimenopause have begun and that some supports are needed for your body. I hope that makes sense or clarifies it a little.
Absolutely. In your work, do you, and perhaps in any sort of like conversations out there on so many topics, but have you noticed any sort of like misconceptions?
So one of the misconceptions is that my cycle is regular. I still get my periods, and there's no change to my periods. So I mustn't be in perimenopause. And that's not simply not the case. We can be having regular periods and be in perimenopause.
Wow.
The other piece is that, and this is the hardest one for mums, is that I must be doing something wrong if I'm not feeling well in my 40s. I must be getting it right in my head, because I should be able to push through and make everything happen. And I would say that's probably biggest misconception that we have as humans, is that we're doing something wrong if our body is giving us symptoms. Whereas in actual fact, if our body is giving us symptoms, it's simply the most useful thing is to pay attention and see, what do I need to do to support it at this time? Perimenopause, our body is working so hard on the inside, and we may at that time not have the same resources on the outside to be able to do what we did in our early 30s. Why would we be able to do what we did in our early 30s? We're a different age. And it doesn't mean we need to slow down. It means we need to become much more discerning about what we say yes to, what we say no to, about asking for help, and about being really boundaried about what matters, and not getting dragged into stuff that really you don't have the bandwidth for this particular period of time. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, lovely to hear that. Yeah, I think what you said about the misconception about what we think we perhaps are not doing. Yes, there is so much narrative that would point at you maybe not doing enough of meditation or maybe not taking care of yourself enough. So you search there, but kind of instinctively, as you kind of tune into your body, you know that perhaps this is not that. Like I give you my example. I have been in a personal development industry for over a decade, working as a coach for 8 years. And so I have been in it. And at one point, I've noticed that, yeah, it really is not about next tool or tools maybe that I am not using or haven't used yet. Or I think at one point you shift and you start to notice that, you know what, your body really is going through something. It's more like about body, not just mind. And you really start to kind of see yourself like genuinely more holistically, not theoretically holistically, but I mean like I really kind of try to honor messages from body, you know, and not maybe attach story to it, but yeah, just approach it with curiosity. But I think, yeah, that misconception, that misunderstanding, I feel it's very accurate in my experience as well. So when we talk about the impact of perimenopause, because it is such a complex and actually really interesting topic, how do you feel it affects the sense of authenticity and your true self? And how is that related?
I'm going to remind people, and you're familiar with it, and suggest that people look it up. It, you know, the Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
And on the bottom of that, we need to have the basics fulfilled before we can start thinking about some of our self-actualization. In other words, you know, what's important and being authentic in the world. One of the challenges for humans, not just for mums in their 40s, perhaps, is that life in some ways erodes some of those basics. You know, how many people listening struggle to make time for sleep, for exercise, for time to prepare food that they know is good for them, just because they're at max bandwidth all the time, juggling work, play dates, parenting. So our life today in particular is in some ways very demanding, and some of our most basics for our physical body are being eroded, that we just don't have time. I'd love to get out for a walk, but actually I have to finish these emails now that the children are in bed, or I just can't get up early for the simple reason I was too busy last night. They're the basics that we need to do to keep a healthy body. It's only when we have those in place, and they're never perfect, but at least that we have the basics of our own self-care, sleep, food, movement, that we can then begin to genuinely have enough in the tanks to think about, who am I? What do I want? What impact do I want to have on the world? You know, when I get to the end, will I be happy that I've achieved and done and turned up in a way that's really who I was meant to be? It's almost impossible to give those sort of questions, to devote time and energy to them when we are tired. And it's why, you know, I'm very practical. It's probably because of my nursing background. We get the basics right, and then we can begin to ask, what makes my heart sing? What values will I do time for? What are the things that really matter to me? And sometimes for me, the hardest thing and the most useful thing in terms of allowing me to be authentic and also allowing me to have contentment is to check on a regular basis whether or not I'm living according to my values. In other words, is what I'm doing actually what I'm saying and what I really want deep inside in my heart? Yeah. Most of our torment comes when our values are conflicted, and the world very often challenges us regularly and tells us that something is urgent and therefore we have to leave the important aside. And that's often, I think, the struggle for any human, not just women or mothers, is to make sure that we can be authentic and be true to what really matters to us. And that's easier done when we're minding this one beautiful thing that we walk around in that gets us through until the end of our days. I hope that helps.
Yes, and just a kind of reflection on what you said about needs. I feel that we often understand that we need to fulfill the need of physical needs, safety needs, belonging before we get into that self-actualization. But the truth is that we rarely live like this. I mean, the truth is that we may not have energy, but we push through, which often happens with burnout. Many of our needs are often not met, but we kind of feel drive for making difference, for whatever often is also a narrative in society, and we kind of take it and forget of the basics, and then sooner or later our body, and that's what I see and notice and find true, is that our body will sooner or later just signal to us that this is just not the right direction. Like, see me, honor me, please. Now is I have impression, yeah, that there is so much wisdom.
Gosh, I sometimes say that I imagine that the universe is this beautiful being that nudges and nudges. And then we get to our 40s and perimenopause. Some of your listeners may remember years ago, menopause was called the change. And it was such a beautiful word here in Ireland, anyhow. It was, you were going through the change. Okay. And I often think that the universe in our 40s, when perimenopause begins, it's such a potentially empowering time that she goes, you know what, I'm just going to dial it up a little bit until the human here notices that this body they're in really needs to be minded. So that's my I suppose, how I can sometimes poke a little bit of fun at our human frailties and our ego, thinking that we can just drive on and that we don't need to look after the body we live in. Yeah, good luck with that. And hey, I put my hand up because this is the lesson that I learn again and again. We have to mind our bodies.
Totally. So talking about that self-care, to be honest with you, I've done quite a few episodes and always at some point we talk about that. It is so important, especially when you are a mom and just in the motherhood zone. So yeah, talking about this, can you perhaps share any sort of like practical advice on incorporating maybe some self-care routines that actually addresses those unique needs of moms experiencing perimenopause?
Absolutely. There's a few simple things I talk about. The first one is sleep. Sleep is juggler, and it needs to be given priority, particularly in our 40s. And whether that means going to bed at 8:30 after the children go to bed, if that's what's needed, that's what's needed. It won't stay that way forever. Sometimes we think, I don't want to go to bed early, or it won't stay that way forever. But if that's the best time to go to bed for you, go to bed at that time. Make your sleep a priority. We know the narrative around sleep hygiene and putting away the phones and blah, blah, blah. And we tend to go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we don't do them. Without sleep, the human body will die. It's as simple as that. That's how important it is. So make it a priority. And if that means simply adjusting your habits around sleep, that's simple, that can be done, or getting help, particularly with night sweats or restless legs. And there are lots of supplements and approaches that we can take that will help with that. So that's the first one. The next one, believe it or not, I'm going to say is movement. That's my word for exercise. So whatever movement is for you, whether it's walking, whether it's yoga, whether it's Zumba, find time in some way, even if it's for 10 minutes a week. It doesn't have to be what you're supposed to be doing. Find time for movement. The next thing I'm going to say is, so sleep, then movement, is joy and connection. And it's interesting because I often put that one before food, because I'm going to say it's even more important than food. And food sort of happens anyhow, particularly if you have small people living with. Finding time for joy and connection, whether that's looking at your bird feeder, whether that's reading poetry, whether it's going for a glass of vino with your friends and just having a belly laugh, whether it's a walk in nature, whether it's actually just having time to sit with yourself, 20 minutes of doing that is like turbocharging your whole system in terms of your energy, in terms of your everything, the spark that keeps you alive. And I use the word joy and connection deliberately because it's about doing the things that make your heart sing in the small ways, just the small little thing. And I mention a bird feeder. I have bird feeders here. And sometimes 10 minutes looking out at the birds squabbling and doing that, I go into a little trance watching them. And I'm always on one side, the little guy. And it's beautiful. It's simple. It doesn't have to be, meditating for an hour. You may not have time to meditate for an hour. And the connection sometimes can be connection to our true selves, as well, perhaps to others. So sleep, movement, time, even if it's 10 minutes, and we started at the start about getting up a little bit earlier and having quiet, that's often a great time for mums to just have 10 minutes to connect in with themselves. And then make sure you're eating a decent diet. Decent is going to look different for everyone. Some people will want to do vegan, some people will want to do vegetarian, some people will want blah, blah, blah. We all know what crap looks like. Have less of that and more of the good stuff and more fluids and the stuff that actually lands well with your body. How many of us, for years, I used to say things like, white bread doesn't agree with me, and I'd still eat white bread. Yeah, I don't eat white bread now. I eventually got it. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Begin to tidy up gently and give yourself a break because this is tough work you're doing. And kindness to yourself will help everything.
Oh gosh, yeah, I totally agree. And talking about kindness, because we often feel that self-care is those small things that we do, which are obviously absolutely important. There's so much power and impact in small things. So that's very true. But self-care, we talk about emotional self-care, mental self-care, spiritual self-care. So yes, I feel that what kind of thoughts you have in your mind, kind of thoughts. And talking about connection, I see that's a spiritual self-care, just going to nature. For me, I am at the stage where looking at the seasons, looking to be closer to nature is something on my radar. Well, I've always loved going to Wales whenever we have a chance with my partner. We take a toddler and we just go to Wales. We love it because there's peace, there's green. But yeah, it is just all about connecting to nature, taking break from the busyness of sea and kind of noises and just going and have experienced that sense of tranquility. That is something that calm our nervous system, that just help us find a little bit of more like tranquility. So there are many, different ways to look at self-care, mindfulness, yes, just trying to be in a present moment more without judgment, which can be an art in itself, but it's extremely powerful when you actually remove that judgment as
For sure. Many of us have mean internal critics. One of the reasons I love getting older, absolutely love it, is because inside my head is a nicer place to live with each passing year. The things we'll say to ourselves sometimes are mean. And so the greatest self-care is being able to say things like, it's really hard for me today. That's tough. And you're doing a good job. You're doing a good job. And that's it. It may not change anything on the outside, but it changes everything on the inside. And it's in here we're living. So our inner dialogue, whether or not we're being a critic or a friend to ourselves, yeah, it makes the journey of life much more worthwhile and much more pleasurable. And helps us see love and be love and be more authentic as a result.
Absolutely. You see, self-care is a bridge to aligning with yourself, to finding to be at home with yourself. I really love how you describe it. There was so much peace. There was inner peace. That is something that if I experience, that's my ultimate state of joy and happiness, that experiencing inner peace. But also, like you were talking about just being candid with yourself. So when I feel wobbly, for me, fixing it is in not fixing, really. And instead of saying, like, I've got this, I say, well, I haven't actually. I haven't got this. And
Beautiful.
but being absolutely okay with it, almost like gifting yourself with the honoring how you feel. You don't have to fix it. You just need to see it and let it be seen. And I think it's really powerful. It's a very specific mindset to actually apply, because we naturally want to, let's heal it. Let's be mindful now. Let's do meditation. But that is all coping mechanism. That really is. And okay, it's fine. But I think there is something powerful about the idea of women's circles and spaces where actually you simply stay with how you feel. You share it, and you don't necessarily receive any feedback, any sort of advice. No, we just simply want to see it. And I think I really try to apply that as well with how I feel. And I absolutely love, I say it again, how you describe it. I just, I think my entire energy will like shifted just by listening to it. So thank you for this.
Gosh, as you know, there are days when it's like we're on turbo. We can take on the world. And there are days that we are falling apart, and both are human. And we are very often good at being able to be with somebody else who's falling apart or weary or sad, or how lovely if we can learn to also be that for ourselves. The coping mechanisms can come in afterwards, but to be able to truly accept us where we are in this moment is often in itself all that's needed.
Absolutely.
That's the funny thing.
Yeah, we've been talking about obviously self-care, finding your true self, that aspect of authenticity. And of course, as moms, often we experience mom guilt, right? For many, many different reasons. And talking about managing that mindset and inner critic and that sense of inner worth and confidence, I wonder if there are any tips you can share or key mindset shifts that moms could embrace to navigate this period of perimenopause with more grace.
So I have a funny approach to this one. Funny, I it makes me smile because I wish I knew it earlier. We tend to go through a few different phases, and I describe them as sad, mad, and hopefully eventually bad. And the sad is where I certainly went through what I call martyr mammy, you know, oh, if only they realize how much I'm doing for them. They never, I can't sit down. I have to do this now. And we sort of feel a bit sorry for ourselves. And it often can build resentment and often then anger outbursts, particularly if PMS is worsened. And that can happen in perimenopause. Then there's often the what I call the mad one. We're very moany. And so instead of looking for sympathy, we're angry at everyone and we're cross and we're, you know, that nothing is right for us. And there's guilt playing in both of those very often for us, because then we explode, get mad because someone left a pair of shoes on the hall floor. And really, we didn't need to go off on one, but we did. Mm-hmm. So now we feel bad and now we're an awful mother. And so the cycle starts all over again. And in actual fact, there's probably going to be some guilt. That's the thing. Most of us have had trauma-filled childhoods and lives up to now. We can try and think, how will I not have guilt? Or we can go, do you know what? Every now and again, I'm going to experience guilt. So what I'm going to do with it, and this has worked for myself and a lot of my clients, is go, oh, I'm just going to pop it into my pocket and turn up and do the thing anyway. So I mentioned the third stage, which is boundaried or is bad. So that's where we're boundaried. We know when to say no. We know when guilt isn't actually a useful thing now, so we're able to put it in our pocket. And just know that sometimes, as a mother, we have guilty feelings. Doesn't necessarily mean anything in terms of how we turn up. We also are assertive. We can ask for what we want. And then the D is decisive. We get to make good decisions because they're not messed up with either the martyr mammy sympathy piece or the angry piece. We're simply making decisions with the resources we have at this time. They'll change and improve as we go through and learn. But for me, guilt can distract and can take our attention. And either because we're giving ourselves a hard time or because we're trying to resolve it and get rid of it, great. I just put it in your pocket, know what can happen, and still get on with the behaviours. Mostly, guilt tends to ease in some ways, and then can be addressed in therapy. as opposed to in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sounds like a great way of approaching guilt. Let it be, it's not pretending it's not there, but kind of, again, reminds me of that approach. You see it. It's not that you pretend that it's not there. Yes.
Yeah,
I can see you, but I can put you kind of on side and just do whatever I am here to do, which is great. What do you feel when you work with clients who perhaps experience mom guilt, which is obviously probably likely if you are a mom?
For sure.
What do you feel now that it's just the biggest roadblock for them to approach it this way?
Possibly because most of us think, I describe some of these things such as guilt. What happens for many of us is that they sit in front of us, in front of our view of the world, and they get in the way of our heart leading us. They get in the way of us doing what we are meant to do in some ways. And of course, because we're human, stuff like guilt and other stuff, let's just call it as vague as that, will come up and may need to be addressed for sure with somebody who's able to do that work beautifully with us. But actually in our everyday life, don't need to spend our days trying to resolve some of the stuff when our heart is actually what knows where our wisdom is. And so I use a metaphor that if you can imagine each of us, our lives are a bus and we're the bus driver and we have a passenger and it can be a mini coach or it can be a whole big 52 seater. And they're all the trauma, the stuff, the parts, whatever you want to call them, depending on the therapy model you use. They are all the stuff that you have. It's just part of being human. Sometimes when guilt comes up, particularly for mums, what it does is it sits sometimes in our driver's seat. And actually, it decides what we do next, where we're going, how we're being. And that's not its role. Definitely needs to be addressed and dealt with. But actually, we're meant to be in charge of our own lives. And when we're driving the bus, when we're operating from heart and doing the things that really matter, that allow us to feel authentic, yeah, we have better lives. And that's why I like the idea of putting guilt or other parts or other feelings into our pockets so that there's a time for us to address them for sure.
Yeah.
But actually, they're not driving the bus.
Brilliant.
They're not dictating how we respond.
Yeah, absolutely. Very empowering. Yeah, perspective. I really appreciate all the wisdom you share. I just wonder if we can perhaps like wrap up thinking of maybe three practical tips that mom can implement right away to reclaim the true selves in midlife.
So first thing is pay attention to your body. Take 10 minutes and do a self-check. And if any of your listeners want to follow me on any of the socials, I have information about that. Check in with your body so that when you next visit your doctor, you're able to give him or her a good read of where you're at. Your body needs to be operating well and you need to get the supports for that. Say no more. No, no, no is the most powerful word you have in your diary, because actually you have enough on your plate. Most of us have enough on our plate, particularly in perimenopause. And the next one is take time for joy and connection. So your body, say no, and remember your heart. And know that there is no there to get to, because work-life balancing, parenting balancing, joy and connection balancing, it's a verb, it's not a noun. It goes on as long as we live. It just changes and evolves. So there's no there to get to. This is something we're doing and improving on in some ways for as long as we live, which is beautiful to be able to do.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love it. Question, very final one, actually, is something that I actually like to ask my guests, because to me, it's a message of what really sets you on fire as a fire starter mom. And it is about what would be your idea worth sharing if you were invited to speak at TEDx conference?
My message would be about the choice we have to be that sad, mad, or bad person in our own lives. It's about knowing that life can be challenging and tough. and can throw curveballs, and that we as humans will tend to go into that victim mode or that angry mode, and that happens and we can learn from it. But in actual fact, where our real power is when we put boundaries in place, ask for what we want, and make good decisions that are aligned with who we are. For me, when we're doing that, everything around us seems to fall into place and work better, even if everything is falling apart. So that would be my absolute joy. And I'm one of those strange people who love public speaking. So yes, that would be a wish come true if that ever happened.
I know it's weird, but that's a lovely message. That's really powerful. Thank you so much. And thank you for your time, for sharing all your wisdom. And can you tell us where our listeners can find you?
So I'm on LinkedIn to start with. So Ashley Tobin. And I'm also on Facebook, Ashley Tobin, Your Hormone Health. And on Instagram, Your Hormone Health. I post some on Facebook and Instagram, and mostly on LinkedIn. There's a lot of resources on my website too, ashleytobin.com.
Brilliant. I link everything in show notes. Thank you so much, and wishing you all the best on your journey of helping and empowering women. And really pleasure to have you here today.
It was lovely to chat with you. Thank you so much, Gosha.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me, Mama. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to leave me a review and subscribe to be notified when the next episode drops. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me over at Instagram, where my handle is @firestartamom. Looking forward to see you back here soon for our next chat. Bye for now.